four that needs to be here. The others aren't coming yet, probably. You've not heard from Sean or anything.
Maybe he'll be walking.
Okay. Now that I've got a new gavel, I better use it there, so I can be paying attention here. I'd like to call the Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission to order on this day, Monday, March 12, at 11:45 this morning. And first off, Beth, you've gotten everybody's name down that's in attendance.
Yes, I have, thank you.
Okay, then I will look for a motion to meet the resolution regarding acceptance of the consent agenda that's listed and to approve the minutes of our last meeting.
You need a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Yeah, yes.
I'll make that.
Okay, motion made, second?
Second.
Motion made and second to accept the consent agenda, which is included here as the minutes from our February 23rd meeting as well as payment of bills. Is there any further discussion on those? It's a little bit smaller amounts, so there's not too much on the bill side. Okay, no questions, I'll let you do roll call, Beth.
Certainly. Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Laumer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right, with that done, as you can see, we have a little, a time that we want to have a closed meeting. In accordance with the applicable state law, a closed attorney-client privilege meeting for discussion of a pending legal matter involving an employment situation has been called by Wilmer Municipal Utilities General Manager John Heron. And to that effect, I now close the meeting at this time for discussion. What we'll do is review the Labor Committee meeting minutes, and Commissioner Weber, I'll let you take over from here.
After going through these, we met on February 12th, Monday at 12:30, and we designated chair and vice chair, and we also welcomed new commissioner, not new commissioner, but current commissioner Zach McBurr, who requested to be on our committee. It was nominated and voted upon as chair for myself, and nominated and approved for vice chair to be Ross Magnuson. We talked about some personnel issues, which at this time are going to remain confidential, and then we adjourned at 1:45. So that is Monday, February 12th minutes. We met again on Friday, February 23rd at 11 a.m. And I'm going to turn this over to John for some of the details on what we discussed there.
Thank you, Commissioner Weber. The first item was proposed facilities and purchasing job description and wage adjustment reflecting at it. This goes back to earlier discussion with that are being completed by individuals over at the power plant. As we move forward, how do we address those? So what we're looking at is filling an open position in the facilities and purchasing that has been open since one employee retired. And then when we're looking at timesheets from the power plant staff, it appears that there's approximately one full-time FTE required to do our wind turbines, our substation, and our generation maintenance. So as we were talking through the restructuring of our organization with all the supervisors and department heads, we felt that that would be the best approach as we go forward, is to bring those into our facilities and purchasing. They would be then underneath Kevin, and we'd have a three-person department. With that, we also looked at the wage scales that are associated with facilities and purchasing, and also with the wind turbines, and we worked through that with the union as well. They are concurring with the approach we are taking to it and the proposed wages. and there will be a memorandum of understanding drafted, will be our next step, that we'll be back in front of the commission with for execution. In short, from facilities and purchasing, we are looking at increasing, it's 97 cents, somewhere in there, just short of a dollar, and how we arrived at that again was the amount of time spent from our power plant personnel at a higher rate of pay in relation to our facilities and purchasing. And then our current employee, our foreman in that department, then will also be adjusted accordingly, which again will be part of our memorandum of understanding. Then the second item on the agenda for that day was our line department. They, again, with restructuring, our meter department at one time consisted of four individuals. We are down to three individuals, and their responsibility was to read all our meters. They drove through town every month and read all our meters. We have completed installing our AMI system, which is part of that system is it automatically reads our meters, so we don't have to roll trucks anymore. So as we go forward, we will not need the number of personnel in that department that we have now. We are presently down one employee in that department. We have three individuals left, and as we go forward, we really see that as a one-person department or one and a half full-time equivalent, and we're looking at combining the backup through our line department as they have all the training and education for metering, and it would be a good fit for them. However, at this point in time, we have not resolved those issues yet with the union. We thought that they were supportive of it, and we actually posted that position at the request of Dan Kiefer from the union. A day later, Dan called and said we needed to pull that back down. There is still some unresolved issues, so we'll continue to work through that piece of it. And then we provided an update on the power plant update as well. And there too, since we last spoke, we're holding on to our employees that we have, but there's a number of positions coming up at the city as well as our open positions here that we'll be posting. So things will change over there, and as they change, you know, we need to constantly monitor that and make changes to how we operate over at the plant. With that said, it wasn't talked about at the meeting, but the plant three will be coming down again for the summer due to the staffing levels that we do have, and we'll be running on our package boiler number four. So, and with that, I'll turn it back over to Commissioner Weber.
Thank you, John. After that discussion, we adjourned at 11:35.
Okay. And I guess I'll ask you, Robert, we are listed on our agenda that we would have two separate motions. Can we do those two meetings with one motion, or do we need to have two separate motions to accept the minutes?
Commissioner, I don't see any reason you couldn't do one motion to accept both sets of minutes.
Okay, because Nathan just kept talking. I couldn't interject him there. So, all right, and the motion to accept those labor committee meeting minutes, did you make that motion?
I would submit these minutes for approval as a motion.
Is there a second?
Second that.
Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Nate, for that. And John, I guess it was for the duty there. Financial information for review, the financial reports, Designated Bank, and the fund balances, and those will be as two separate motions. Director of Finance, Denise Runge, if you would inform us of this.
Thank you, Commissioner Lama. I'll briefly go through each one of the division financial statements. I don't foresee any more changes to these financial statements. The audit is pretty well wrapped up and any adjusting entries have been done. Looking at the electrical division, our residential sales were up slightly, our commercial sales were down slightly. And of course, we added the energy acquisition adjustment in 2017 as well, which was an increase for us. Our expenses were about equal for the year. In our margins, we were ahead $1,062.77 for the year ahead of last year. You'll notice on the other expenses, both for the month of December and year to date, we're at $568.117, and typically we're around the $300,000 mark. The reason for that was our AMI project was completed, so all of our old meters were junked out off our system, and so there were some of them that weren't fully depreciated, so there was a loss on junking of those meters for installing our new AMI system. Looking at the water division, revenue, we were ahead $121,000 for the year. Expenses, we were down about $200,000. And net margins, we were above last year, $303,381. Moving on to our heating division, margins for the year were ahead $163,388. A lot of that was due to a decrease in expenses, and half of that was for depreciation. The system was fully depreciated, and so during 2017, we did not have depreciation on the old system. Looking at the combined statement overall, our margins for the year were $5,403,659. Last year, we were at $3,874,813. So we were just over $1.5 million ahead of last year in our margins for the year. Is there any questions on any of the financial statements?
I'm not sure if this qualifies under financial. It doesn't really, but just regarding the heating, if we had more customers that have converted that are being taken off of that.
Well, can you answer that?
We're at about 34, so we're at this
Okay. All right, thanks.
And just another note as well on those margins, those margins are used to fund our bond payments and our future capital investments that we are working towards.
Okay, any questions? Okay. I'll let you continue then, Denise.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is to designate U.S. Bank as our official depository for 2018.
If someone agrees, that they move them with U.S. Bank, so we're just continuing with
correct.
That, correct?
Yep, that is currently where we have our deposits.
Okay. I entertain a motion to continue with U.S. Bank.
So moved.
Second?
Second, yeah.
Motion been made and second to continue with U.S. Bank as our official depository. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All same sign. Motion carries.
Okay. And then the final agenda item under financial is to establish our 2018 fund allocation balances. I've included a summary of where we're at the end of the year, as well as our proposed changes. We typically try to maintain our unallocated operating reserve at the $5 million mark, which left us about $3.5 million to allocate to certain projects. And where we've made the allocation is an additional $500,000 into the water treatment plant, additional $2.5 million in the transmission construction fund, which then would fully fund the Priam substation. We had a balance of $2.5 million, adding an additional balance of $2.5 million would give us the $5 million needed to complete the Priam substation. And then water capital reserve fund, $500,000 into that fund.
Any questions from anyone on that? So, and this, again, is information that we can use, or if there's questions from our customers or whatever, you know, where's the money going and that type of thing, we're able to share this information with them. That these are the different allocations for the funds, and this is a report that's sent into the state at the state level. Is that correct?
It would show up on our audit report,
yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. If there's no questions and we look at it, we're good to get some reserve fund built up there with all the projects that we do have coming forward. I would look for entertain a motion to approve the fund balances.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and second to accept the fund balances for 2018. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much, Denise. Next, we will have our staff electrical engineer, Jan Smith, explain the two construction projects that we have coming up for approval.
Thanks, Madam Chair. So this is an annual thing. It's a bid for the 2018
2018 summer construction season. It's primarily the new construction for businesses and new developments, also repairs for the underground wires that have failed throughout the year. And then in the past, we've done conversion projects going from overhead to underground. We've also done feeder replacements, so our main three-phase lines going from the substations out to the different taps where they go into neighborhoods and businesses and things like that. We're in good shape with those projects, so this year we wanted to stay on top of things and move on to our single-phase replacement. Traditionally, our feeder three has been the most problematic, and so we want to address that. And so we've developed two separate bid packages for the 2018 construction season this year. One is just our regular underground electric construction, which is what you're all familiar with. The next one will be specifically to replace single phase on the north side of town. And when I say north side, that would be north of the railroad tracks and then from 7th Street west to 11th Street. With that said, the budget for this underground construction is almost $372,000. We opened the bids for those two projects on March 2nd of 2018. For the first underground electric construction project, the low bidder was ONS Construction for $216,827.50. We've used ONS in the past primarily for all of our underground work, and so I have no concerns awarding the project to them for this portion of the work. The second project is the north side replacement, and that bid came into Midwest Underground for $109,675. Midwest Underground does a lot of work for the Candio High Power Cooperative, and they've also done work for us in the past. They put in the underground wires out to the wind turbines when they were constructed. Again, I have no concern awarding that portion of the project to Midwest Underground. The bid tabulation is on page 2, so you can see that the results are pretty close. I will say that because this is the expected work that needs to get done, the actual bills coming in may change. You know, if we get new businesses, things like that, the more failures of cable, the dollars amount may change there. But what they do is they submit their bid or their price for, you know, installing so many feet of cable and using the different equipment, whether it's just straight trenching or boring, that sort of thing. And then we use an evaluation table to identify, you know, based on the expected amount of work, who will come in with the smaller cost. So are there any questions on these two projects?
Doesn't look like it, so we'll go ahead. And at this time, then, I would again entertain a motion to approve the award of contract to ONS for the underground electrical construction for 2018.
Yeah, so moved.
Second?
Second.
Motion made and second to accept ONS's bid for the underground electrical construction. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oh, excuse me. It's a motion to do a resolution. I forgot to add that in there.
Okay, for roll call, Commissioner DeBleek.
Aye.
Magnuson.
Aye.
McDonald.
Aye.
Lahmer.
Aye.
Mattern.
Aye.
Mabou.
Aye.
Weber.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Beth. And now we'll go on with a resolution for the 2018 North Side Replacement Construction, awarding the contract to Midwest Underground. Where is their headquarters, just out of curiosity? Oh, sorry.
That's a great question, and Bill Hawkinson would be able to answer that one for you. It's slipping my mind, but they're local.
They're local, okay. All right. Again, a resolution to accept the North Side Replacement Construction contract. I'd entertain a motion to that effect.
So move.
Second.
Motion made and accepted to motion for the resolution to accept Midwest Underground. If you would do roll call, Beth?
Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Mommer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Beth. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Go on to information, educational topics as part of our agenda that we do, and we'll start out with the Energy Services Marketing Update with our representative, Mary Kobush. Sorry. a little dyslexia there, changing the S and the B's around.
Very quick presentation to a quick overview of 2017. A couple things just to cover is we do bill stuffers throughout the year. We try to limit the amount of bill stuffers that we put in. Just because of the cost of inserting them, but we actually use NISC and to do the sometimes the print and the insertion for them, they go up for customers billing statements. So far, we've inserted the Smart Hub to promote online bill pay and online bill review along with the cold weather rules. And in 2018, we've already inserted the water rate increase that was necessary. Been important over the last couple of years to make WMU's putting us out there in front of the customers. So a couple of things that we have done, I did a Genio presentation on conservation, water and electric. We participated the last couple of years in National Night Out. Of course, we have the open house every year, which brings in close to 2,000 people. We do the scholarship presentation every May. We've been involved with Chamber Connections, both as hosting it and attending it. And then last year, the first part of January, we offered a key account breakfast. Some of the marketing techniques that we're using, one is we're using Facebook. I think that's our greatest bounce back right now. Some of the demographics that we touch, as you can see there, 61% are women, 39% are male. The age group peak viewing period is between 8 p.m. That's on our side, but if you go statistically for Facebook, I think it starts at like 2 in the afternoon and then it highlights again in this part of the evening. Customers are most interested in the photos and videos. We've had the most outreach to them. We have 89 consistent followers, and the largest number of reaches that we've had is 354. The website, we have 8,800 users. You can see we've had growth within the new users. Tells us there what type of device they're accessing us from. I probably would like to see the mobile device part upgraded or increased, that percentage increased. Average session time is 3 minutes. The top page is access for the contact page, the ways to pay, and then customer service where they're looking for our move forms, how to transact or move or transfer of service. 19,000 sessions were viewed. 90% of the viewing are just one page. After they get to the front page, they'll only move to one other page. So they're not, which is pretty typical, they're going for what they need, the quick hit, and then they're transacting and then moving on. And then as far as the website goes, we have a larger male demographic than we did female. And we do have the same age bracket they get as we did for the Facebook. Advertising this year, some of the things we ran was the district heat notices. We had several of those regarding the motions and those things that were held by the city hall and again by us. Open house, we did do a Christmas piece in there. Radio I did cut back on last year because I thought that it was way too excessive for what we were getting. But we did do district heat notices, we water savings, summer energy savings, and winter energy savings, concentrated on that. We also did do a part with appliances and LED lighting rebates. And we did get some kickback from commercial accounts regarding the LED lighting rebates, so that was probably our most productive of the radio advertising. Then we move on to energy services. We talked about this before. We do have some LCMs in stock, which are load control modules, which we plan on replacing. Right now, we have six LCMs that we're testing. It took us a while to get it properly programmed. We had to beg, borrow, and steal one of the representatives to come out here and walk us through getting them set up. But now we believe that they are accurately setting up and reporting back to us. So with a little bit more information, they'll probably go out and put on a small group, which we are water heater groups, which are controlled every evening. So I think that'll be our first attempt. As far as rebate goes, you can see the dollar amounts, the count that we did, and then the dollar amount that was put out for the rebates. Obviously, our LED conversions, we were at 52,000 last year, I believe we were almost at 100,000. One of the reasons for that is that we had to cap last year the amount for the LED rebates. We capped it at 10,000 because we had one company take advantage of the program, and they themselves received a $48,000 rebate alone, so kind of put a crimp on our budget. So we have that. Ball giveaway, about $6,600. Ball recycling cost us $1,100. And then another one that was a big kickback here is we started to do the LED light changes. For the street lighting, and they converted 630 lights last year, which I thought was incredible. And actually, the amount of kilowatt hours saved is probably greater than that because they have some that go down to, I believe, 40% dimmable versus 50-50. In the future, some of the things I plan to touch on is continue with our community. Begin the LCM changeouts. Hopefully, we'll move forward with the joint action agencies, so strengthen the key account program and the energy services program. Produce the community newsletter. I don't know if anybody has gotten theirs yet. I checked around the office, and as far as I know, no one has received theirs. We should be getting it today or early this week. But that'll go out in March, June, September, and then December. Continue to enhance Facebook as a form of advertising and contact with the public. And then we also will continue with the employee newsletter, which goes out monthly and get checks. And that's all I have.
Thank you. I just want to comment on the March newsletter that's coming out where you did the explanation of the wind turbines, since there's been some questions in the community regarding that. I thought that was a good article that you have in that. Any questions of any of these? If not, thank you very much, Mary, keeping us informed on that.
Thank you.
And then we'll go to the customer service update. We'll have Stacy give us a brief update.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'll go ahead and do the 2017 year-end review as well for customer service in the metering department. Starting out in the metering department on the census analytics side of it, actually our towers went up last year on the 9th of January, and they have been operational ever since they went up. We haven't had any issues with those at all. They were postponed about a week or two. The company that came out and installed them was from Wisconsin. They had a snowstorm, so unfortunately when they came out on the 9th of January to install them here, we had a snowstorm. So it was really cold and blowing the day that they installed them, so I was happy that they're still up and working. That being said, we have 1,438 electric meters that were safely installed in 2017, exercising all the safety precautions without any injuries, so that was good. August 1st, we actually went live with the Spectrum two-way radio infrastructure, starting that communication with our electric meters receiving a high level flow of data for billing, we have 9,966 electric meters that receive information on a daily, hourly basis. We have 6,723 water endpoints that are read with an overall service quality rate reading of 98.9%. So that's excellent. We have 9,966 electric meters, so overall there's probably roughly 15,000 items that are communicating on a daily basis. We have our read demands that are reset. We don't have to roll a truck to go out and do that. We're able to identify and track any service losses that we have, any leaks or tampering. We identified two unauthorized attempts of meter theft last year from the program. We have an ability to reprogram and set actions two-way to these units. We can receive firmware and upgrade updates to those units over the air. And then also, like I had mentioned earlier, we reset 700 meters on a monthly basis for our demand without having to roll a truck. So that's exceptional. The hosted system provides support and includes disaster recovery, where all replicated data is stored here and off-site for us to ensure access and availability of all consumption for billing. So that is included in our package that we have, along with cybersecurity and everything they handle on that site. Additional features, like Mary kind of mentioned, we're just dabbling into our load control devices to be able to monitor, record, and control those from the RNI system. And street lighting is another possibility as the utility evolves down the road. We have the capability of controlling and monitoring that through our RNI as well. We've enhanced customer service with faster answers to billing questions, having real-time readings from those meters. Our current usage information eliminates estimated reads, and by providing consumers real-time energy usage information, this allows us insight and control over their energy consumption, so customers are more apt to know how and when they use their electricity in their home and their business. So that's been very beneficial for us. The meter department, as John alluded to earlier, a little bit on the staffing side of it, without them having to roll a truck, obviously, has eliminated a lot of their responsibilities, duties, and roles. We do have staff attend a highly hands-on program through MMUA for meter schooling on an annual basis. Larry Chapman has valuable insight to three-phase and single-phase electrical connections, and so Aaron and Steve have participated in that in the past, learning characteristics to resize meters for higher efficiency, learning new safety tools and products, as well as standardizing their best practices. Meter staff attends this course on an annual basis, staying up to date with all the changing rules, equipment, and technology that's available for them out in that department, while closely working with the line department and sharing those duties. So then we'll go into customer service. On the customer service side of things, the five-year electrical consumption usage trend, that diagram that was in your packet, which is kind of backed by popular demand. I apologize, I seen on the bottom there I still had heat and water included in the graph, which normally was displayed on there, but because Joel did his presentation earlier, I had took that information off, but it still resides in the bottom down there. Overall, you can see on the graph it's pretty flat, relatively similar to last year and previous years. On the electrical side of it, we have 9,848 electrical meters billing and consisting of 9,566 customer accounts. So with that being said, we added six new homes in 2017. So obviously that didn't change much on the residential side of things. And obviously residential customers are becoming more aware and conscientious in finding ways to reserve and using some of those strategies to reduce their utility energy costs. So that remain relatively flat. On the commercial side of things, we added about a dozen new commercial accounts. So that was slightly up a little bit. We had 1,000 Degree Pizza, Candy Dental, the Surgery Center, obviously later in the year, the new school, a trucking company, and then we also had a few upgrades to existing commercial accounts for West Central Steel, Dooley's, and Grand Rental. And obviously, our commercial has not changed at all, and there as well as an industrial industry, learning ways to save and conserve on energy as well usage. So, moving on, the Minnesota State Statute Compliance Administrative Board and Annual Analytical Data. This is basically information and review only for you. Currently, as I had mentioned, we approximately have 9,500 customers that we're billing. Heartland Community Action Agency, their assistance programs plays a huge role in our community in assisting low-income housing. They actually contributed $186,222.48 in revenue in 2017, which helped 714 recipients in our community. Family Services also plays a huge role in that, which we work with on a regular basis. Their contribution was $5,129 that helped 17 families. And the Salvation Army, local churches, and other provider and programs that we have out there in our community touched 144 recipients, bringing in $67,062.48. So it pays to give back, and I think it goes to say with Mary, reaching out in the community and getting involved, letting people know that we are out there and we're willing to help them as well, not just sending them a bill every month. Cold weather rule notices that were sent, we sent out 2,203 cold weather rule notices so far. We still have up until April 15th to do so. We had 1,341 service orders that were processed for disconnections and actual cutoff. Of that, 309 accounts were disconnected for non-payment, and 225 of those were actually reconnected. We had 14,370 accounts that were penalized in 2017, only on the electric side for roughly $12,587. We actually made 147 payment arrangements during the cold weather roll season with customers. 27 of them had broken payment arrangements. Two customers applied for the cold weather roll protection and were granted that protection. And 28 customers were disconnected that did not request the cold weather roll protection. And we had zero customers request any board appeals that were denied. So that was what we want to hear. Then we'll go into the next customer service recap, our payment trends. I actually have a credit card, which I should have included in your packet. It's really interesting information in there. But obviously, since we've started accepting credit cards in 2017, our cash register is still our biggest number one source of receiving those credit cards. And then next it goes into e-bill. We have 6,280 customers that are using e-bill on a monthly basis. We also use our IVR, the Automated Voice Response Program, which is 2,980 customers. Our mobile unit was 2,264. And then our Pay Now app is 1,229 individuals actually use that app to go ahead and make a payment online. The number one, obviously, is Visa coming in with $1,705,000. And then our check transactions are a little over $1 million. And then MasterCard running up with $814,534. And then Discover, we collect about $43,627 on an annual basis. The banking fees associated with collecting those payments were roughly a little over $18,500. Okay. And then our Next topic, we have our bad debt, which nobody wants to talk about, but it's an issue with every business that you're dealing with. We received 312 non-sufficient funds last year, totaling $41,421. Accounts that have no activity with us over the past 3 months and their final due date are wrote off. Our uncollectible write-off for 2017 was $21,067. Of that, $37,000 was submitted into Revenue Recapture Program, which is our state aid program we use for collecting recoveries, and they were able to recuperate $13,360 for us. So that is very good. We continue to do daily collections, and we submit that twice a year into Revenue Recapture before August. We can intercede some rental property refunds, and then obviously income tax refunds at the end of the year. Going into our customer service staffing, they were engaged October 10th. They attended a MRES workshop in Sioux Falls. Joni Livingston, that you guys just recently met, she was one that helps utilities improve their customer service, and she was a spokesperson at that event. Also, David Saxby, he specializes as well in customer engagement, that put on the seminar. Excuse me. The workshop was designed to get a better understanding of customer service needs and focusing on building customer and community relationships. Staff participated and they did some role playing and identified their strong and weak points, dealing with difficult customers and how to handle those problems and complaints. They actually came back and role played for like a month, and they would bounce the ideas and different things off of the individuals and in customer service off the three CSRs that are up there and said, what worked well, what didn't work well, and you try this. I called the customer by name this month, you're gonna do this. And they had a really fun time showing their skills that they had learned. They also attended a NIST conference later in the year, and Kim and Mike had went to that. Mike elaborated a little bit in St. Louis what they learned. Helps promote and engage new proficiencies in our industry knowledge and enhances customer connection through the technology we use with NISC. And then obviously APPA is a huge resource for us as well. They offer a customer connection program out there. They have web portal and a tool access kit that we can use, and we strongly encourage internally cross-training and supporting one another as well. We remain defined in knowing that WMU customers' needs and wants and what they are, how to address those challenges and what their expectations are. Workshops, conferences, and seminars like this totally aid those challenges that we are provided and give staff the opportunity to share their knowledge and skills and grow and perform at their highest level. So I want to thank each and every one of you for allowing both the meter staff and customer service to attend these educational experiences.
Okay. Thank you very much, Stacy. And yes, education is important. Keeping up to date, that's always good. Again, thank you. Any comments, questions for Stacy? Commissioner Mattern.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Stacy, thank you for the report. Under the bad debt section, I know in the past we've seen some charts to kind of give us some trends over, let's say, the past 5 years or so. How does the current year look compared to the last number of years in terms of both recoverable and irrecoverable debts?
It's probably right on track now. It's typically in the past around that 20,000 mark is what we write off. 2015 and 16 were skewed a little bit just because of the conversion that we had with billing, so those years were combined. Yeah, and so that's one of the reasons why I didn't demonstrate or show the graph, but roughly it's around $20,000 in write-off.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chairman,
to further comment on that, our write-offs at $21,000 we're talking about in relation to the amount of revenue we collect here is extremely low. Huge thank you to, you know, Stacy and her staff for staying on top of this. We typically, our revenue stream is about, what, $28-29 million a year, and we are writing off only $21,000 a year. Very, very respectable by industry standards.
Good job. Good job. Okay, thank you. And we'll go on to the wind turbine report, and we'll hear from Jaron again.
Madam Chair, you'll notice on the February 2018 wind turbine report that the year 2018 is the bottom line on the graph. That's because number four is still not producing any kilowatt hours, and I am prepared to go through the whole story on that again if you guys would like to hear it. Otherwise, Commissioner Lummer stated, Mary actually put together a pretty good synopsis of that in the newsletter that's going out to our customers. So thank you for that, Mary. The production out of number three was excellent, and I'd like to commend Brian Hoover and the power plant staff on that for, even though they're shorthanded at the power plant, they're still able to get 99.6% availability out of wind turbine number three for the month of February. That resulted in production of 317,618 kilowatt hours. Are there any questions?
Keep up with good work, Brian, with your staff and doing that, because I know you're working hard here. Not that everybody isn't, but any questions of Jeremy at this time? And it's still pretty much an unknown as to when we're going to get number four up and going again, isn't it?
The part is scheduled to be delivered in June. As anybody that's got history with troubleshooting knows, we're hoping that the hydraulic, that part is the actual cause of the problem, but there's potential that we get it in that we'll find other issues, and so once we get the part, we'll be able to continue that process, but the guys are still out there and keeping an eye on the thing to make sure that nothing else happens in the meantime.
Okay, very good. Thank you for the report. Okay, then we'll go on to our general manager, Mr. Hearn.
Madam Chair, unless there's questions with what I have listed, well, actually, before I can make that statement, we got our legislative rally report update. Did you want to start with that, or did you want me?
Why don't you go ahead, John? Okay.
I am looking for my recap. I must have it in my file here someplace. Anyway, I don't see it here. I'll run through it. I'll wing it. So, by all means, Commissioner Lummer and Commissioner Mabu, by all means, fill in. We arrived out there, and when we arrived out there, the first meeting that we had with our MMUA briefing of our meetings on the Hill with our legislative delegation, and we learned at that meeting that because of Billy Graham's visitation on the Hill, that it was going to be shut down on Wednesday, so all our meetings were scheduled for Wednesday, so they were moved back to Tuesday. And Tuesday was our day for our APPA session. So, in a sense, we attended very little of the APPA legislative meetings, but we did have good meetings with our legislative delegation. We met with Senator Klobuchar. She was always very supportive of our issues, and she continues to be supportive of our issues. She's very knowledgeable with them. We also met with our new senator, Senator Smith. Very impressed by her. She come prepared for the meeting. She knew our issues. She knew our challenges, and she is supportive of them. The infrastructure piece coming out of Minnesota, we talked about that a little bit. She knows the needs here, and she is doing what she can to increase the funding out of the federal government for our infrastructure projects. So that was enlightening to hear that she was that well-versed at the federal level regarding our issues. And we met with a number of representatives as well. We met with Colin Peterson's office, with his staffers. Colin was not able to attend, but again, his staff is aware of the issues, and he's always been a very strong supporter of all our issues. Our issues that we had, that we went out there to visit with him, was our infrastructure, the needs, the dollar amounts that we need here in Minnesota to put our infrastructure current and maintain a reliable system, mainly on the water and wastewater side, as well as our bonding needs. Tax-exempt bonding pays for most of our infrastructure, 95, 98% 90% of our infrastructure needs is funded through tax-exempt bonds. And the last session, they maintained them. However, the advance refunding part out of those bonds was eliminated out of legislation and pushing to bring that back in so we can refund our bonds. The other two topics were poll attachment, maintaining control over poll attachments. A lot of the companies, particularly your cell companies, they are putting attachments, boosters. Jaron works with them quite frequently here. We have a policy on it. But we work quite frequently with them. They have taken this issue not only at the state level that they did not receive support for all the way to the federal level, and they want to change the FCC process to govern those poll attachments, and we want to keep that local, and we need to keep that local, and basically everybody's very supportive of that. And then the third item was our WAPA, both our power supply as well as transmission. There's our at the federal level, they're always looking at ways to, you know, add revenue to their budgets or cut costs. However, our federal system is totally paid for by the customers. It was built by the customers and was very expensive power when it was originally built. Now that the system is paid for, or not paid for, but paid down. It's not paid for yet, but it's paid down, and our rates coming out of our federal hydro system, not only the WAPA system that's part of us, but there's four federal systems, federally managed systems there. They're all the same. They're relatively small. Roughly about 3 cents a kilowatt our power costs us out of our federal system, thereabouts. And the federal government's looking at changing that to market rate in one area, and or selling the system off altogether, as well as the other piece. The federal government owns transmission as well, or manages transmission that's been paid for by we, the customer. So we constantly have to remind our legislative delegation of the benefit of that system and who paid for it and who is paying for it. So we had good meetings with that. Madam Chair was one of the presenters, as well as myself and Juan, in one of the sessions. And Commissioner Babu was asked to present on Wednesday, but being that they changed all our schedules, we had limited meetings. We left on Wednesday morning. Chair Babu was not able or did not have to present. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Madam Chair or Commissioner Babu to fill in the pieces.
I'll just fill in and then I'll let you do your sack, okay? And I'm not going to go into detail, and I can see your eyes rolling back already in your head. But as a member on the Public Policy Council meeting, there were 7 resolutions that came before us at the Public Policy meeting. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put those up on a sheet and include in your next packet rather than go into detail at this time, and because the time is after 1 already, and I'm not going to keep you any longer to listen to me ramble on about it. I'd rather put it in writing, and then if you have questions, you can ask me. Okay, now I'll turn it over to Zach.
Well, it's been really amazing, you know, just going there, and always people tell you nothing is happening in Washington, but there is a really lot of movement, a lot of shakers. So if you don't be there, you know, someone else will be there taking advantage. And one of these things I realized, you know, that especially, our congressional delegates and, you know, meeting them, our, you know, sharing with them about the challenge that small utility like us is facing, I realize is very important, and I really encourage, you know, most of you to attend this important meeting. It's very, you know, really helpful to so many different levels, and to be there and to, you know, to present that challenge. One of the things that has been really used example over and over is our wastewater here system that has been brought in front of the Gorbachev and others, and like how in 10 years we spend over what, $80 million, and now all of a sudden the rules are changing, and that means that we have to add another what, $20 million or $40 million?
Plus
$40 million, you know, so that how it's going to impact a small community like us here in Wilmer is a big deal. So that for them to hear that, I thought it was very powerful. So it's very important for us to be there. So it was really fulfilling.
Yeah. Yes, when you cite individual, you know, situations, it's not just this vague thing. Okay, John, we'll turn it back over to you then.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One quick comment to that is in the handouts that were part of the MMUA packet, they actually reference, here's the handout that we had, they actually reference and have a picture of our wastewater treatment plant in here. So that was part of the presentation, was our wastewater treatment plant and the future costs, as mentioned. So with that said, unless there's any additional questions to the general manager's report, I have nothing further to add.
Okay. Just received that a couple of meetings to be determined and upcoming conferences. And any further business that wants to be brought before the commission? No further business? Okay, then I will adjourn the meeting.